The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to the Epic Universal Podcast. It is me, entertainment writer Jim Hill, and I am joined by my co-host, Eric Hersey. And he and I are recording this week's show on Sunday night, February 25th, 2024, which is when the online theme park fan community seems to be losing its ever-loving mind over the news that the Skull Island Reign of Kong ride at Universal's Island of Adventure is switching from 3D to 2D. Have you seen this over the past weekend, Eric? Or
Jim, you mentioned this to me. I did some little searching online, and I'm quite excited to hear your perspective, because to me, it's maybe in a couple years in, I'll join in the mob. But right now, I'm just looking at it and saying, we'll see what they're all up in arms about.
Okay, well, we will talk at length about this in the second half of today's show. Warning up front, folks, I'm going to be in rant mode. On the other hand, Eric is in packing mode. You and the family are headed back down to Orlando later this week. Is that right?
It is spring break here in the lovely city of Wheeling. So we're heading down, and we are making our trip to the Walt Disney World, where we have annual passes.
So. Got it. But I want to stress here, folks, no Universal, all right? Because, again, Eric, that's the concept of the show. He is still formulating plans for his initial visit to the Universal Orlando Resort, and that's going to be with the help of you nice folks. And so we would love to continue to have your insights and input here.
Two episodes isn't enough in yet, Jim.
We're getting great comments
and great suggestions.
Give
me a little bit more time to figure out exactly the right way to make this happen.
Okay. Well, and speaking of making things happen, we wouldn't be here today without our lovely sponsor, Touring Plans. And Touring Plans can help you save time and money the next time you're down in Orlando, visiting all of those theme parks that are built around the City Beautiful. So before you book your next flight to Central Florida, please check them out at touringplans.com. Okay, now, we're Eric and the family to go over to Universal Orlando. The Universal Mardi Gras International Flavor of Carnival continues at the Universal Studios Florida theme park through April 7th. In fact, this coming weekend, DJ Khalid will be appearing in concert. That's on March 2nd at the Universal Music Plaza stage. And he'll be followed in that same venue by Ava Max on March 9th. And Queen Latifah on March 10th. So, you know this, Eric, because you're the one who edits the show. But I have talked at length with your lovely bride, Lauren Hersey, on our I Want That Too podcast about the souvenir popcorn buckets that are sold at the Disney theme parks. And what's kind of interesting is it looks like Universal is sticking its toe in the water of this souvenir market. What's kind of interesting about the whole sticking your toe in the water is their souvenir popcorn bucket is a gator. In fact, it's the Mardi Gras 2024 King Gator popcorn bucket. It retails for $28.99, and it features a crown in beads that light up. Plus, you get one free refill for your $28. So
now, Jim, is the popcorn buckets is a big thing in Universal? I mean, do they have your normal refillable popcorn buckets, or is this a brand new item that?
This is brand new, but on the other hand, that's the nice thing about this podcast. If we're wrong, we'll be told about it. All right. So now, of course, given the name of this podcast, we are paying very close attention to what's going on with the Epic Universe Park. And I don't know, did you see that footage from who was taking at night late last week of the coaster test that was being done in the Dark Universe section of that still under construction theme park? And
right, it's what the it's a curse of the werewolf. Is that the?
I was hoping you'd have the name because I didn't. But yeah,
I think that's what it is. It's a werewolf test, or at least so forth. Yeah, this is definitely the land that I'm most excited about. I wasn't quite sure what was being done, but I mean, when you start testing the coaster, that's a pretty good sign, right?
That is. I mean, and remember, we, again, on the mouse side of the street, people have been, again, been laser focused on what's been going on with Splash Mountain at the Magic Kingdom, that they're cycling the logs, they are filling the flume. So it's considered all good signs that will come online sometime this summer as announced. On the other hand, Epic Universe still looks to be second quarter of 2025. And this, of course, is the thrill ride that'll be located in the Universal Monsters theme section of that park. And speaking of Universal Monsters, Eric noticed when he was doing research this week for the show that a Universal Monster tribute store has opened out in California the Production Central portion of the original Universal City Walk, which is, of course, located out in Hollywood. And did you take a look at any of the stuff that they had there in the store? Or
yeah, I pulled up the gallery. I mean, it looks to be your standard mugs, shirts. There were some posters. I kind of got real I knew of the monsters, right? I mean, we all know Frankenstein, Dracula, and so forth.
Oh, sure.
But I didn't really realize that they're actually there's several more, and there's a whole crew. And so I was like, well, how niche can you get in here? Can you get an Invisible Man shirt? And does it matter what size you get?
Okay.
No, well, but it looks right, to be like your standard shop there. I couldn't really tell from the pictures how big, but this is the kind of stuff that I enjoy.
As I understand it, that they've broken it out into individual areas, which each of these sections will celebrate a particular Universal monster. And as you mentioned, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the werewolf, that sort of thing. I actually want to get in there and see what they've got for Creature of the Black Lagoon. That was the one who scarred me as a child.
Absolutely. So, that's the book I remember getting out from the library. They had all those monster books. So that's a quality one, I guess. Phantom of the Opera is another Universal monster. So there were several. I'm like, oh, okay. So okay. The Mummy, which I didn't realize for the longest time that the whole mummy with Brandon Fraser, that's essentially a classic monster.
Oh yeah. I want to say, and again, poor Boris Karloff. When you think about, he did the mummy makeup for that. He did the Frankenstein monster makeup. The poor guy suffered for his art and to scare the crud out of the rest of us. So anyway, getting back to Epic Universe now, the Lucky Generals, which is an ad agency out of New York City, has just been signed by the Universal Orlando Resort with a particular job. They've been hired to help when it comes to the marketing of the launch of the Epic Universal theme park next year. And I wonder how lucky the generals actually are, because Eric and I were talking about this off air, folks, and I can't help but remember what happened in the late 1990s, which was when as the Universal Florida theme park was being reimagined as a Disney-like destination resort. Universal made the decision to spend $60 million to rebrand all of their property in Florida as Universal Escape. And again, the idea here is that, well, look, Universal Escape was supposed to be this romantic notion, sort of like, what is the island resort? Sandals? I mean, just the notion right. of you go on vacation, you put your feet in the sand, you're having a good time. And so when you're going on vacation, you want to escape from your troubles. You want to get away to something fun. And so this was this was how Universal wanted to rebrand itself as the vacation resort of the 21st century. And they went all out. I mean, they partnered with Coca-Cola and Dodge, and they put this campaign in motion, which had a brilliant, I think, brilliant set of commercials, which, by the way, for his homework for tonight's show, I told Eric he had to go seek these things out, the Universal Escape ads, and take a look at them, and we wanted his thoughts on them. So you found them. You found them on YouTube, right?
I did. I found a nice playlist. If you type in, I think you just Universal Escape commercials, you'll find, I think there were six of them in a row.
Yeah.
For the most part, there are some very branded ones, and then they get more towards the ask a family, get sound yep. bites of the family saying, it's amazing here, and so forth, mm-hmm. and then having clips and pieces, but not bad. You said, when was this, 1999, 2000?
Well, yeah. Now, the Universal Escape promotional thing, it launched, I want to say, March of 98?
Okay.
Yeah. March
that
of 98.
Right,
okay. Again, the park is scheduled to open 15 months later, June of 1999. So let's talk about these ads. What did you have a favorite in the bunch?
Oh, I kind of, I mean... Spider-Man and Doc Ock fighting on the top of an airplane was quite impressive. It was quite the feat, and I kept on saying to myself, I can't imagine it ending well for either one. So, Jim, do you want to kind of explain what this commercial was?
Well, I mean, just the notion, the concept of this particular ad is a kid's on a plane. And, you know, and he looks out the window of the plane, and he's doing his William Shatner from Twilight Zone.
That's what I was saying. I was like, the only thing I know of Twilight Zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the wing of the plane, there's Spider-Man's fighting with Doc Ock. And it's only toward the end of the ad that you find out that this plane is flying into Orlando. And the reason you're seeing this image is because, of course, the Universal's brand new theme park, Island Adventure, has an Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man ride where you will get to see Spider-Man fight with Doc Ock. And that's kind of the conceit of these ads, right? I mean, the notion is you get to sort of see what you'll encounter in the land. Like, can you tell the story, the diner story, commercial
well,
story?
Jim, I was going to ask if you would eat green eggs and ham or watch a commercial with green eggs and ham for that matter. No, the notion is it's just a little family, the little girl. I think she asks for green eggs and ham. The waitress is kind of dismissive. It's like, oh, we don't sell that here. I think she almost sarcastically asked the cook, and he's like, I'll see if we can get it or whatever. And then, of course, she was walking up and then boom, the plate has, which is relatively gross. Just a dippy egg, so to speak, yep. just green, and then ham, and then I think the Cat in a Hat winks at her from another booth or outside the window.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You again, this is scene set inside of a diner, and you literally get to see this full-size Cat in the Hat walk by the window outside of the diner, and he makes this happen. And again, the notion is when you go to Islands of Adventure, you can get green eggs and ham. And by the way, you can. There's a restaurant there when it's open that will sell you green eggs and ham. But the other one of these ads that I really kind of loved was the guy in the dog park putting up his lost pet posters. And again, do you want to walk us through that one?
Well, I mean, essentially, I think it's this gentleman that just comes up to a guy that has a dog, and he says, hey, have you seen my, I don't know if he says dinosaur, dog, either way, it's yep. I think it's a triceratops at the moment.
Yep.
He shows it, and the guy's sarcastic. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll tell you if I see it. And the next thing you know, he's throwing a frisbee to his dog, and boom, right. Here comes a giant triceratops running through the dog park, and he's, you know, shocked, but there it is. And I mean, yep. That's promoting the Jurassic Park at the time.
Like, yeah.
Whatever land it would have been called.
Oh, and I am so sorry to say this, because you are literally maybe a decade too late for this. This was honestly one of the very coolest things at Islands of Adventure. What you could do is that they had a thing called Triceratops Encounter. And, okay. And what you do is that you'd get online and you get broken up into like a group of eight people, and they would take you into a barn. And there, and mind you, there were three barns, so they could get some capacity going. But there in the barn was a full size audio animatronic Triceratops. And what was so cool about this, I mean, it snorted, it pawed, it peed, it did all of these real animal things, and they would pull one person out of the group to come inside the enclosure and help them deal with this animal. And it was so crazy expensive and impressive. I mean, I want to remind you here that this thing was actually built by the talented folks up in Canada who built the space arm. I mean, for the space shuttle. I mean, it was, it was moonshot technology. And, over time, but the problem was that it was literally off the beaten path in Jurassic Park at Islands. And it just never, it had trouble with capacity and people couldn't find it. It was just a heartbreaker that people didn't appreciate what this was, and it was eventually shut down, and the animatronics were left to rot for years. But again, that I love that they picked this moment out of the park to sell in this really oblique ad that again featured, you know, this Triceratops chasing after a frisbee and leaping into the air and catching it. And since we're talking about dinosaurs and frisbees, we should also mention that it was just this past week that we got a brand new director for the new Jurassic World movie, right? And that's Gareth Edwards.
Right. So it looks, what is it? It's going to be Jurassic Your World or whatever. It's the fourth iteration, mm-hmm. fourth version, the newest.
I think
I've kind of lost count a bit, but yeah. So Gareth Edwards, and I'm not a giant film buff. I've watched, you know, movies, but I said to myself, I know that name somehow. And it comes out that he's the one that made Rogue One, which is pretty popular in my circle of friends.
Yeah, no. That's of the Star Wars stories films, I think that's the best. But and what else has he done?
He looks like he did a Godzilla in 2014, which my son is all about Godzilla, but I don't know if we've watched that one yet. And then the most recent was The Creator from 2023, which I am just not familiar with at all.
Okay. All right. I think was that Netflix? I mean, it looked interesting. I'll have to check that out. But all right. Anyway, so to get back to the Lucky Generals, and again, let's be clear here. This is a big get. They competed against two of New York's biggest ad agencies and won this gig. But again, just, I'm hoping the people in the room who are putting together the campaign for Epic Universe remember what happened with Universal Escape, because that campaign ran for 28 months. And by, I want to say, July of 2000, the actual highway signs leading to the Universal Orlando Resort, anything that said Universal Escape was pulled down. The whole notion was, oh God, people don't understand what we're trying to do here. And they were confused about, was Islands of Adventure a new land at the Universal Studios Florida as opposed to a full theme park? And they didn't get that they were now on the actual property hotels. Right. So, I mean, it was tough. They had to restart. So I guess what I'm saying to the nice folks at Lucky Generals, don't be too clever. All right. I mean, put together a brilliant campaign. And don't get me wrong, though, I love those commercials, but they don't tell me what I'm getting. They really do not get across the message that there's a brand new theme park here and there's all these lovely hotels and we built an entire destination resort and come here as opposed to Disney.
Right. So, when we talked the other day, Jim, you were explaining, you were like, hey, have you seen these? And mm-hmm. and I had a hard time understanding the concept alone. Then I watched it and I said, well, it sounds to me like it's almost they were advertising another park. It seemed like the ad would. So they missed it somewhere. And maybe it's just because the name itself was sounding like it could have been a name of a park. But we'll see where Lucky Generals comes from. I looked at some of their. Mm-hmm. They're real, so to speak. I wanted to say, what have they done? Okay. And they seems to me that they have a recent, they're doing the TikTok It Starts Here campaign. And then of most recent years, they actually did a Super Bowl commercial, which I actually remember from about 2019. And it was for Alexa. So it was for Amazon. And it was the commercial that had Alexa losing her voice. And then they got some celebrities in there and they had the celebrity chef, is it Gordon Ramsay? And I think Nicki Minaj and a couple other aspects being the voice of Alexa when people were asking questions. Really entertaining. So it seems to me they have worked with a bunch of high profile companies. So we'll see what they can do. I mean, if I see a Triceratops with a Frisbee, I'll be happy to the nod. And everybody listening on will know that's a throwback.
Well, again, sometimes you do have to think outside of the box, which speaking of which, we just saw Universal partner with Minecraft for what they say is an all new theme park experience. Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we mentioned it really briefly on the end of last show. And I mean, we didn't even know. It was like it was the day of recording and they had some Twitter ads that had like famous landmarks, but all pixelated. Universal landmarks. And we kind of mentioned it briefly and it came out once again. It was actually Minecraft and it's essentially just an online aspect where you're Jim, have you played Minecraft or are you familiar with Minecraft at all?
I am familiar with Minecraft, but as I remind people, my hand-eye coordination, I stopped gaming with the original Asteroid.
Well, I think it has about the same amount of pixels being used there, Jim. So the good news is, Minecraft. So okay. my youngest have all played and it's just like a world builder. It's almost you just walk around and you build stuff. And I've actually come across some amazing YouTube videos of some Disney attractions that just people generally built. Like my son just started looking at Wonders of Life Pavilion, right? The giant gold dome he's not allowed in at Epcot. And he found a Minecraft version where you go in and you walk around and you do all this. So the fan community has been making these things for a while. This looks to be like we get to now experience Universal and not just what's there now. I think with a lot of the nostalgia of people like myself to want to walk around this, now you can go to Back to the Future and you can be terrified by a 16 pixel Jaws. Like, so.
Well, and it's also important to, in fact, this is part of Eric's research for the show here, but when you talk about fan community, that's 166 million active players every month. That's a real number.
That is insane, isn't it? Is it not? Yeah. But and that's the funny thing is you pull rag on it. It's just a little blocky game. But one of the first choices for my 6-year-old this year, he wanted to be the guy from Minecraft, mm-hmm. and he has a name, Steve or something. Okay. That's what he wanted to be for Halloween. And I'm like, come on, you could be a ninja, you could be a dragon, like. But no, it's a smart move. It's a smart move, and. I don't know, Jim. No. Did this happen? This happened days after the Epic announcement, the Epic Games for Disney, or right around that part. It's they're all getting back into gaming. They're trying to get everybody there because the notion is the younger audience. They're getting their media on video games. So smart play.
So, okay, a quick question. Do we know if there is, you know, obviously if they're building Jaws and Back to the Future, do we know if there's a Skull Island Reign of Calm somewhere in the Minecraft world?
I didn't see it in the 1 minute and 30 second YouTube video I saw, but it would make sense. But
okay. So,
So, Jim, with the we're talking about Skull Island and the Reign of Kong here in this situation. Mm-hmm. So let's tie back to something you mentioned earlier and we kind of alluded on. So they're switching from 3D to 2D, and the general audience online is kind of going up in flames a bit. But I, the first thing I thought of, and I did my research, this isn't the first time this has ever happened. So Despicable Me, the Minion Mayhem, seemed to do the exact same thing. It went from 3D to 2D in 2019, in May of 2019. And that was after being a 3D attraction for 7 years or so. So why is it a big deal? Why, number one, are these companies doing it? And why is it a big deal? Is it just glasses? They don't want to clean glasses anymore?
It's a long rant. No, story. It's a long story, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, this.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
And we're back. Okay, so, all right, we got to talk about Skull Island, Reign of Kong. And here's our challenge, folks. Eric's never been on this. Now, have you seen it on YouTube? I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this. I might have seen something before.
It's an immersive experience. This isn't the old Kong. This isn't like the giant animatronic that pulls stuff. This is a different experience, right?
Well, I mean, it does have an animatronic at the okay. All right. All right. Hang on, folks. I'll figure this out. All right. Okay. Again, key component of the show, the Epic Universal podcast, is Eric has never been to a single Universal theme park on this planet. And again, we're all helping the Hershey family get ready for their first ever trip to the Universal Orlando Resort later this year. So, okay. Threading the needle on this part of the show, going to be interesting. Okay. If we're going to talk about this attraction's history, we have to start with Peter Jackson's King Kong, the remake in 2005. Did you and the family ever get to see that?
Oh, years ago. I don't know if I remember it now, but sure.
All right. Okay. That's okay. And look, I'm going to start out in the wrong place, but I didn't like this movie. I mean, I admired it technically. It has some amazing visual effects, has some really cool production design, but it's 3 hours and 21 minutes long. There's no polite way to put this. This is a bladder buster of a movie. It's just too damn long. And just to be clear here, the original King Kong from 1933, Eric mean, it's 100 minutes long, 104. If you play the overture, that used to play in the theater before this Miriam C. Cooper movie started, where Peter Jackson's King Kong remake is 261 minutes long. And the thing is filled with flab. And I say this as a guy who likes Jack Black's performance in it. He plays producer Carl Denham as being Orson Welles adjacent. And a really interesting idea. And again, there's that brontosaurus stampede scene in the narrow canyon. That's really cool. And yes, I know we call them apatosauruses now. I don't care. When I grew up, those dinosaurs were called brontosauruses. And their nickname was Thunder Lizard, which is a really cool nickname, by the way. And even though I'm not a big fan of the Flintstones, I still want a Bronner Burger. So, all right. I've lost the narrative thread here. Give me a moment. Okay. Back to Peter Jackson's King Kong, which arrived in theaters December of 2005. It costs $200 million to make, Eric. And while it doesn't make Lord of the Rings money, it does okay at the worldwide box office. It pulls in over $550 million, which covers its production costs, its promotion costs. And then when you factor in retail sales, as well as selling off the cable and terrestrial television broadcast rights, Universal ekes out a profit. But as you know, Eric mentioned at the top of the show, there were King Kong attractions in the Universal parks out ahead of this movie. There was the King Kong Encounter, which I bet you've seen pictures of, Eric. This is the one where it's the 30-foot tall, 7-ton right. animatronic that used to, you know, threaten the tram. And in fact, by the way, this one was built, designed and built by Disney legend Bob Gurr. And then there was Kongfrontation, which was an opening day attraction at Universal Studios Florida, opened June of 1990, which took months to get operating properly. It featured two animatronic Kongs, each were 39 feet tall and had an arm span of 54 feet. And it was really cool as those giant arms would grab your ride vehicle, lift it up, and throw it to the ground. Again, something else you need to look at on YouTube at some point. But anyway, by the time Universal Pictures had opened Peter Jackson's King Kong in theaters in December of 2005, Kongfrontation had closed in Florida. It shuttered in September of 2002 to make way for the Revenge of the Mummy ride, which opened in May of 2004. But as for that King Kong Encounter sequence on the Universal Tram Tour out in Hollywood, Eric, that hung in there till June of 2008, which is when there was a fire on the Universal Studios backlot. And before they could get this blaze under control, 3.5 acres of sets and sound stages were lost. And among the buildings that got consumed by the flames were the $7 million structure that housed King Kong Encounter. But where this got interesting was Universal Creative saw this fire as an opportunity. They decided to take some of the visual assets that had been created for Peter Jackson's King Kong remake back in 2005 and use them to create a new vignette for the tram tour out in Hollywood. So they build the structure that the Universal trams could pull into. It picture this, Eric. It has 200-foot long screens on either side of the tram. Now, mind you, as you're boarding the tram, in fact, you talked about this at the top of the show. What was the issue? Again, they're cleaning the 3D glasses. Well, as you got on the tram, you literally had to walk by these trays. And it's like, get your 3D glasses. So, so you're now on the ride. And there's a little pre-show film where Peter Jackson himself tells you, put on the 3D glasses. And now that this footage runs of King Kong battling this trio of V-Rexes, which are supposed to be some sort of hybrid dinosaur that's part Velociraptor and part T-Rex. And what's kind of cool about this is this battle takes place on either side of you and on top of the tram. And when you pull into the building, you're on top of this pad that will go up and down to mimic like the weight of this giant creature is on top of your tram. Anyway, King Kong 360 3D opens at Universal Studios Hollywood July 1st, 2010. And that's just 2 years and a month after the fire that on the backlot that consumed the original King Kong Encounter. And it's a popular addition to the tram, which does not go unnoticed by the folks out at Universal Orlando. They decide in 2014 to take Universal Hollywood's King Kong 3D and turn it into a full-blown attraction at Islands Adventure. So they clear a spot in that theme park between Toon Lagoon and Jurassic Park to build. Well, look, you're told it's a long-abandoned temple on Skull Island, but as you enter the queue and go inside the building, you find out, nope, not abandoned. You actually walk in on this ceremony of Kong worshipers who get across the message, this place is really dangerous. There are lots of big, scary creatures with sharp teeth. Maybe might be a good idea to turn around and go home. But of course, you bought your theme park ticket, so you press on, and then you get deeper into this building, and hey, there are 1930s style trucks, buses, something like that, in the load area, and you get on them because you did the same thing in Indiana Jones Adventure at Disneyland. All right, you walked into a temple, and here's a troop carrier. Of course, I'm getting on it. Anyway, your 1930s vehicle loaded with guests leaves the load area, but now this is where it gets kind of interesting, Eric. Depending on whether it's raining, you either leave the load area, go outside of the building, hang a U-turn, and then there's kind of it almost quotes from Jurassic Park. This is giant set of doors at the front of the ancient, supposedly abandoned temple that now open and your truck rolls in. However, if, as happens in Orlando, it's a heavy rain, the really smart people at Universal Creative created an alternate version of the ride path for this attraction. And what can happen is your ride vehicle will just go straight from the load area into the first scene of the movie, that you won't go outside and go through the gates and potentially get people wet.
Well, that's quite interesting, Jim. I don't know if that was never heard that before. Like, that's pretty darn smart.
I thought so as well. I mean, that's the thing. What makes me crazy about this is there's lots of good design in this attraction that I really don't like. I mean, I like the design. I just don't like the attraction. Okay. Scene one, you go into a cave, your truck stops, and you're now menaced by giant bats that are big enough that they can carry out full-size humans. And, oh, by the way, at this point, you've been told to put on your 3D glasses, which I believe you've been told previously are cave goggles. And by the way, at some point, I here's a project I'd love to put out there for theme park fans. I'd love a definitive list of what all of the 3D glasses that you wear on various rides were called. I mean, nobody ever says put on your 3D glasses. They say put on your space goggles or put on your diving mask or whatever it is. I would just love somebody to compile that list. I just, what's a technical term for all these things that we know are 3D glasses? All right. Anyway, scene two of this ride is basically the very same footage that you see when you're out at Universal Studios Hollywood. You're on the tram and you see King Kong 360 3D. It's only been slightly reanimated because at this point, you're on Skull Island, not the Skull Island from the movie. And then finally, scene three, we kind of circle back to King Kong Encounter, the vignette from the Universal Tram Tour back in the 1980s. And because at the very end, you come around the corner and you don't see him till you're in motion and you look down and there is this super sophisticated, huge animatronic of Kong, basically from the shoulders up. And he's looking at you through a fence that looks like it can barely contain him. But the nose wrinkles, the eyes squint, he huffs and puffs at you and growls. And it's an amazing animatronic, Eric. I mean, you with your love of theme parks, you would at the very least need to go on this ride to check out that giant Kong animatronic because it for the time, and again, this opened in July of 2016. It was state of the art. Anyway, you roll back into the station, you unload. Basically, it's a very short experience, which, if we're being blunt here, 3D just does not add a whole lot to, which is why I, if I'm being honest here, I feel kind of meh about theme park fans being pretending that they're this upset about the idea that Skull Island or Reign of Kong is switching to 2-3. I mean, you mentioned that before we get started here, just before we went to the second half about Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem losing its 3D going to 2D in, what is it, 2017 or thereabouts? Well, I mean, it's worth noting that Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey in that park used to have a 3D component as well. But in 2016, the very same year that Reign of Kong opened at Islands, that attraction in the Wizarding World switched over from having 3D scenes to 2D. And again, from what I've heard, that was largely because guests just don't like to wear 3D glasses. There's the, when you put them on, your field of vision dims.
Right.
And at the same time, sometimes you get a pair, in spite of, you know, the well-meaning cast members that aren't entirely clean, that are kind of smudgy or scratched or that sort
all
of thing.
The time.
There you go. So, all right. So I guess have to, I ask, what's really going on here? Look, folks, given that the news about this whole Skull Island Reign of Kong thing broke over the weekend, and more to the point, given that Eric and I are recording this on a Sunday night, which is before anybody in the PR office at Universal gets into the office on Monday when they can answer my phone calls. Look, apologies. I don't have an answer for you. Not yet. Anyway, I will say this, though. I'm not a fan of Universal Creative taking individual elements from the tram tour out in Hollywood and then trying to make these things into full-blown attractions for Florida. I mean, and that really didn't work with Fast and Furious Supercharged, which, by the way, started out life as the grand finale of the tram tour out in Hollywood in June of 2015, and then just got turned into this meh ride at Universal Studios Florida in April of 2018. And Eric, by the way, this is a story I love. Theri Koo, who used to be the senior vice president, chief creative officer of Universal Creative, he got asked, and this was just a year or so back, actually November of 2020 to 2021, so 3 years back thereabouts, he was paneling at IAPA. That's the theme park convention that's held at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando every fall. And Theri got asked if he regretted over the course of his career in themed entertainment, ever regretted anything. And what was kind of interesting is Theri said this before he actually retired from Universal Creative in March of last year, at 22 years with the company. But here he is, November of 2021, on the record in a room full of his fellow themed entertainment folks. And he asked, anything you regret? And said, yeah, I wish I fought harder to prevent the attraction version of Fast and Furious Supercharged from being added to Universal Studios Florida. So
not a glowing endorsement.
Not a glowing endorsement. Though, speaking of which, late last week, Vin Diesel got on Instagram to reveal that the very next installment of the Fast and Furious film series would be that franchise's grand finale, which this is kind of big news, Eric. I mean, this is the highest grossing film franchise for Universal Pictures. It's actually the seventh highest grossing film series in Hollywood history. $7 billion in ticket sales, as your bride likes to say, billion with a B. And the one that's coming out next will be the 11th film in the series, and it's due in theaters in April of 2025. Now, let me be clear here. I am not telling Eric that he shouldn't go on Fast and Furious Supercharged or Skull Island Reign of Kong, especially when he and his family are making their first visit to the Universal Orlando Resort sometime later this year. I'm just saying that maybe if the line is long, that you go do something else. And then maybe you come back when the line is shorter, much, much shorter, like walk on. But this brings me to another question. Would it be wiser if Eric sees these two attractions in their original, purer form? Like, say, as part of the Universal Tram Tour out in Hollywood, again, as the King Kong 360 3D scene, and then as the Fast and Furious, the grand finale of the Tram Tour. And again, I bring this up because there was an epic Universal podcast listener who sent us, was that through Instagram or
I think it was through Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. Who said, look, if Eric really wants to do Universal right, he should start with the original out in Hollywood, which I don't necessarily disagree with. So, but what are your thoughts, folks? Because look, Eric and I always appreciate your feedback. If you could reach out to us and let us know what your thoughts are. Should we start out in California at Universal Hollywood, or do we dive in the deep end and have the Hershey's start at the Universal Orlando Resort? So, speaking of which, though, Eric, if folks are going to reach out to you, where can they find you online?
I think the easiest way you can find me is either on X or Instagram. They're both Eric Hersey. I was able to acquire both of those at an early age. So,
Okay, cool. And well, if people want to reach out to me, let's see, they can do that on X, Twitter, whatever. Also Instagram as Jim Hill Media, and over on Facebook as Jim Hill Media News. And, by the way, folks, want to remind you, we do have a couple of other podcasts here that we'd love you to check out. There is, of course, Disney Dish with Len Testa. Likewise, Fine Tuning with Drew Taylor. And by the way, I want to remind you that Mr. Taylor has another podcast that is well worth seeking out. It's the one he does with Charles Hood, and that is Light the Fuse, the official Mission Impossible podcast. Then, of course, we have King of Lucasfilm, I do with Brian Gahn. And we've just managed to get I Want That, a 2, up out of the ground again. And then that's with Eric's lovely bride, Lauren. In fact, we recorded a new episode of that earlier today. And then, again, there's Disney Unpacked, the video series that I'm doing with Len Testa and veteran Imagineer Jim Shull. That's over on Patreon at patreon.com/Jim Hill Media. And Eric, you've actually been editing these shows lately. So can you talk about what the next episode of Disney Unpacked is about?
Right, Jim. I just honestly finished up, hopefully putting the final touches on your episode that is probably the one when I heard what all you guys were doing, the one I was most excited about, and that is the Rock and Roller Coaster, the show that talks all about, and believe me, there are some stories that you guys share, and just the entire building process. It's nice to be under the hood, yeah. Pun intended there, editing absolutely. This podcast.
Absolutely. And by the way, you've been doing a wonderful job with the shows. So
appreciate that. Jim, what do we got going on in the next Epic Universal since we're talking about new shows?
Okay. Next episode, we're going to be interviewing the very talented young woman who choreographs many of the shows and the parades at the Universal Orlando Resort. This is Laura, and she's got some great stories, but we'll get her on the show in next time around.
Well, Jim, that sounds like a real fun show to record. And I think till then, on behalf of Jim Hill, I'm Eric Hersey. Hey, thanks everyone for listening.